Okay, we are on the air. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of June 18th of 2014. Can we please take the roll?
Governor Pat Quinn. Secretary Schneider.
Yes.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Christy will be joining us in progress. She's on the way. And Paul is not able to make it due to a family commitment today. Is there any public comment? Was that given anything? I believe we have no public comment. The next item is approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on May 14th of 2014. Were there any corrections or clarifications or any input? No, they're being done. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I don't believe I have any additional items. I'm going to turn it over to Mike. I know we have a couple presentations.
Well, we have one presentation today on a LEED certified M1 facility and some exciting things we're doing with solar as well. I'd like to introduce to you Brian Wagner, who is our senior environmental planner and LEED, L-E-E-D, project manager for the project. Brian's going to be talking about the Allison facility, which is our M1 facility, and all the great things that we're doing in terms of LEED certification, as well as introducing some solar panels onto the facility. Illinois is the top leader in LEED certified facilities, thanks to the leadership of Governor Quinn and Move Illinois. Does additional with that, with this facility. So without any further ado, Brian?
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for having me. And one quick note, I'd like to thank everybody for the opportunity and the privilege from working here and everything that it's offered. And since getting the senior environmental planner position, I've been promoted to the environmental policy and program manager. So thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity. So I'm going to be talking briefly on the M1 site and the LEED accreditation that we're going to be seeking. It is going to be a LEED Silver facility. And just run through briefly what I'll be going over. And like I said, it's a LEED certified facility at M1. Give you a highlight, which Mike already touched a little bit on Illinois being the national leader in LEED projects. That performance of them won't increase per se, so that's their peak performance. So it's depending on climatological conditions, weather conditions, on how they perform. So, you know, like I said, on June 23rd, if it's a bright sunny day, no clouds in the sky, we'll realize that 50%. We'll realize that 50% usage or generation of the power. So it'll be generating that 195 kilowatt hours of power at that point. So it's just a matter of weather conditions that relate to its performance.
And to answer your question, you know, I think it's great we're looking at these LEED design features and for these facilities and going forward. I think it's the right direction for us to go in. And I know we don't do a lot of vertical, but so we are, you know, it's good that we are proceeding down this path.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. And just real quick, so LEED is typically more vertical construction. They do have a neighborhood feature, but it is a vertical construction. There has been a gap, and you know, many have been trying to figure out how we do horizontal construction with some type of certification process. And FHWA has developed a program. It's called Invest, and you may have heard some rumblings of it up here or around the buildings. And we also received a grant from FHWA to implement that. And that's something that we're working with right now. We're developing that program and implementing it, and we're getting into our first rounds of scoring. So while it's not LEED, it is the Federal Highway Administration's version of LEED for roadways, and that's something that we're doing as well.
And I agree. I think we should continue to pursue those grants. You know, that level. That's my opinion. I don't know about the rest of the board, but
excellent. The great thing about this is it's a state grant, and so it's us partnering directly with another state agency, no federal dollars associated with it.
So. Any other questions?
So, Brian,
you know, he mentioned a few times that he's grateful for the opportunity to work here. I mean, he does all of our alarm out things. He's really doing a great job. I mean, what he does mostly, you don't necessarily see or hear about because it doesn't turn into a big issue, but he has secured all of construction work, so we wouldn't be doing the Elgin O'Hare or 62 miles of I-90 or 294-57 interchange if he wasn't taking care of all those permit submittals and building up that great relationship that we have with the regulatory agencies, and Rocco also has a significant role in that too. So.
And we all know how much fun it is to fill out this permit.
Yes. And Brian reminds me every time he
runs through the process.
That's great to hear. Brian, thank you for your help in that, in those areas, and we appreciate the presentation this morning. Very insightful and informative.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Kristen, when you're here.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Thank you for drawing attention to my tardy arrival. I don't think that I have anything else.
We'll dive right in. All right, we're
going
to go right to finance then.
Mike. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, directors. Finance has three items for the committee this morning. The first item is renewal of contract with Bank of America to provide customary banking services as well as armored car services through Brinks to the tollway. This contract is really a contract that's procured and awarded through the State Treasurer's Office because they are the official custodian for the Illinois Tollway Funds per state statute. This contract was originally awarded pursuant to an RFP issued in 2005 by the State of Illinois Treasurer, acting as in their capacity as custodian. We do have a representation on the evaluation committee. And at that time, Bank of America and Brinks received both the highest evaluation and the lowest pricing. The contract was originally for four years. It had six optional one-year renewals. On the recommendation, and actually the recommendation of the Treasurer's Office, would be to execute a final renewal for the period of September 1, 2014 through August 31st, 2015. The upper limit of compensation for the renewal year would be reduced by about $10,000 from the current year authorization, reflecting our current level of activity. The treasurer will negotiate the final terms of the renewal, and obviously the award of this contract would be subject to their successful negotiation with Bank of America.
Brinks is the subcontractor that are doing the... transportation,
the armored car service.
Armored car service. You mentioned, has the scope changed with the cash and coin decreasing each year with open road tolling and I-Pass users? Do we need this level of service at this level, or can it continue to decrease, or are we at a certain point?
I think the level on Patty, I think the level of banking activity hasn't decreased, but the armored car service, roll coin purchases, and so forth,
has decreased.
Yeah.
Will that be reflected in the...
It is reflected in the estimated fee that we have of $370,000. That's, I think, in part why we were able to reduce the upper limit of compensation because of acknowledgement that the car services may not be as great a reason for us. The Treasury is starting the process already for procuring a new contract. We're going to be a part of that, and we'll be on the evaluation team. I think the expectation is either in about a month, probably late July or so, they would expect to issue a new RFP for the year subsequent to this renewal. So it does take a lengthy period of time to get through the procurement.
Any questions? Okay.
Second item on finances list is approval of authorization of an additional $1 billion of revenue bonds to finance a portion of costs related to the Move Illinois program. If you recall, in 2012, we asked the board to authorize and did approve an initial allocation or authorization of $1 billion of bonds to provide funds for construction for the Move Illinois program. We've just completed that $1 billion. I think we closed the $500 million transaction on June 4th. That was the second $500 million transaction. Plans for the next new money issue are that it will likely be late in this year, more likely in November, December. But given the market environment, given the possibility that with a significant improvement in rates, the board might want to consider going to market earlier, we thought, why wait on seeking the authorization? So our thought would be to seek authorization now so that in the event that the market turns even more favorable, we could execute a transaction sooner. The resolution authorizing this that will be presented, it's going to be developed with council and presented to the board next week. What it does is authorize an additional $1 billion of senior fixed rate debt, so no variable rate debt would be included in that. It would authorize the parameters around which you could call the bonds or refund them early. It authorizes the standard documents that the chair executes, the bond purchase agreement, preliminary official statement, and the official offering document. It authorizes the continuing disclosure agreement that we enter into to provide continuing disclosure to the market. One other item that will be included in that resolution is an increase in what we call the capital improvement requirement established within the improvement account. One of the kind of technical aspects of our trust indenture is when you build new roads that are called improvements, or if you widen roads that are called improvements, the indenture calls for us for the board to actually authorize deposit of tollway revenue to use for that purpose. So while we're funding part of this program with bonds, we're also funding part of it with toll revenue. And we want to have the ability to continue to use toll revenue in addition to bonds to widen the roads, to build the Elgin O'Hare, and so forth. So that will be also a component of the resolution that will be presented to the board. We will have a draft out to you, in the materials. So with that, that's any questions on me?
Questions. So that portion of the toll, it becomes like a restricted fund?
It's not restricted, it just allows for the use of that for the purpose. Currently, without that, you can use the toll revenue for, without that authorization, you could use the toll revenue for operations, you could use the toll revenue for debt service, you could use the toll revenue for renewal and replacement and repair of the system. But you couldn't use toll revenue if you had no authorization, the zero authorization, you couldn't use toll revenue to actually build a new road.
And the $1 billion, we expect to do $400 million first?
The 2014 budget anticipates an additional issuance of $400 million. That's what we would plan to do. If we get close to going to market and it's just an extremely favorable market, we might come back to you and say, gee, maybe we should do $600 million. But the plan would be to do $400 this year and then the other $600 million. Next year.
And in the budget, it seemed like we were looking to go to market by September, and if we move it, we would save on the interest there?
Yeah. And we're not going to need this new issuance for the purpose of construction until later next September. Questions? Third item we have is approval of assignment of firms to provide bond underwriting services. I think, again, if you recall, in 2012, August, the board approved a pool of 14 senior managing underwriters, 18 co-managing underwriters. They were approved pursuant to an RFP that Tollway had issued. Currently, there are only 16 co-managers that are eligible, as one has discontinued their business, and the other actually declined to submit required disclosure. So we currently have 30 firms eligible in the pool, 14 senior managers, 16 co-managers. From this pool, the Tollway, we anticipated assigning all the firms to serve as underwriters on Tollway transactions. And one of the priorities we had was to use each of the firms at least once before we rotated back. We have now used all of the firms with the exception of two. That's right, Morgan Stanley and William Blair. And our recommendation is for the next bond transaction that Morgan Stanley and William Blair be assigned to be the senior managers on that next transaction, as they haven't been utilized yet at this point. Blair is co-senior. Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo as senior managers, Loop Capital Markets and William Blair & Company as co-senior managers. And as co-managers, Cabrera Capital Markets, PNC Capital Markets, Mazzaro, Raymond James, U.S. Bank Corporation, Williams Capital Group. And basically, with the exception of Morgan Stanley and William Blair, who haven't been used previously, the other firms were utilized on the first transaction because we're rotating back to the beginning of the
Those Donna's co-managers too for the senior and the William Donna's co's before the other firms.
Yes.
So Wells Fargo because and Loop Capital were when you said they were co-managers the last time.
Oh, I think Loop was senior last time, which is why they're co.
Okay.
Now and Wells, I think, was co last time, which is why it's senior now. That's right.
We have a little bit of confusing language here. Senior managers pool is both co-senior manager and senior manager. The co-manager pool is the bottom list there, which is
right.
No,
I'm sorry, co-manager. I used the wrong language.
Okay.
Co-senior manager.
You are right though that Loop was used
right.
in the actual in the top category, the senior
versus co-senior
category last time.
Right.
And again, that's a good point. Part of this rotation process is to try to move the firms in the senior manager pool between the roles of the top level senior and the second level co-senior, so that by the end of the RFP period, everyone has the opportunity to serve in both roles.
So I think you'll see in the attachments that you have, we have not only the list of who we're recommending and who's being recommended now, but also kind of walking through who's been used and how they've been used on previous transactions. So you can see
the fees remain the same. Any change in fee structure?
Fees remain the same. The maximum takedown or sales commission fee, underwriting fee, is essentially $2.50 per $1,000. So that means for the entire group, a $400 million transaction, underwriting fee could not exceed $1 million for the entire group. But I would like to point out that we're asking to be able to assign this next team to the next bond transaction. That's most likely to be the next new money transaction. But again, we do have refunding bonds authorized. If the market were to improve dramatically, or significantly between now and the time we issue the new money, we would use this team for the refunding transaction.
And new money, we're talking about November, December?
Yeah, yes.
And about $400 million?
About $400 million.
And Director Gonzalez's question about basically starting to pay interest on that money, when will that $400 million be used if we go out to market in November, December for construction?
We would anticipate that we will be able to get through, we would be through this current bond issue, so we could start on that next bond issue in November, December.
But when the funds will need to be used, will they be used to pay bills January, February, March from this previous year that come in after, plus some next year, or when will those funds start to be deployed?
Yeah, I mean, that's the expectation. All depends upon how quickly we're able to move through the construction program.
Okay. I think the point was maybe almost start paying interest on money that we're not going to use for an extended period of time. However, there is, you want to capture the market when the rates are low too, so it's a timing issue, it's a balancing act.
The December, the kind of late 2013 date is our best estimate of timing timing the issue for when we will start to need the proceeds. It's possible that we won't need the proceeds until early 2015. And at that time, we can revisit the timing of the issue, and we'll continue to monitor this.
Okay. But this is just authorization, basically,
yes.
Up to a billion.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Always a year behind.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Let's take these items. Do we need to take these individually, or we take all three together? Take all three together. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve under finance items 1, 2, and 3?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda. Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Procurement.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. So we have four items for your consideration this morning. The first item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase Oracle Golden Gate replication software, licensing, support, and maintenance. So this software will assist us in transferring data from our current customer service and violation processing system to our new back office system with Accenture. This purchase will provide a smoother transition to the Accenture system while minimizing service disruptions to our customers. Award is recommended to Mythics Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $624,060.50 for a one-year period.
Can you explain the new models and what the modules will be for electronic tolling collection? How will this change what we're doing?
This tool, this software, essentially, if we were not to buy the software and just going to transfer all of our data from our current system to the Accenture system, we would definitely have additional downtime, and during that downtime, customers would not be able to update their iPass accounts and add or modify any credit card information that they have. So this tool allows us for a smoother transition, minimize downtime, and when we upgrade to the newer version of Oracle, because that's the platform that this sits on, we won't experience that many issues as well. So this is just an additional tool to minimize the disruptions to our customers.
And the downtime, what's historically, what's the downtime or disruption that we have or in the system? What are we talking about? A couple hours, talking about 24 hours,
no,
a week?
It's hard to quantify. I did ask that question to our IT department. It depends on how the migration of the data goes, but it could be several hours to several days without this software. And with this software, we're only looking at maybe a few periods of a few hours worth of downtime.
So in your recommendation, you think it's worth this expenditure for that? This is going to bridge the gap, so to speak?
It is.
And it's going to be a temporary bridge until the upgrade to Oracle?
I think we can continue to use this tool
for
the migration.
Yes, we are going to use it.
It might be worth it. We don't have, I think, anybody from IT here. It might be worth it for us to follow up and get you some additional information, because that's a great description and probably even more thorough than I would be able to do, but IT might be able to also provide some additional information, because I know that they were thinking about this tool, not just for this application, but for other transitions that we have, and that there are other applications for using this tool, so they felt that it was important. So we can maybe follow up and get some additional information to you.
That'd be good.
We can. But both Shauna and Joe Cambage think that this is important, and Accenture believes, of course, that it's important for its successful implementation of the new back office system.
Okay, so Chris, you are right, though. This will be also be used anywhere where we have Oracle software sitting on the server. So anytime we upgrade to a newer version of Oracle, we will use this tool to minimize that downtime.
Which happens, because we all know.
Yes.
There are always new versions. And in order to remain supported, we have to have the newest, the most recent
version
or at least right. The version that still is being supported by the company.
And Mythics, have they done work? Have we worked with them before?
Yeah, they've been on the state's master contract supplying Oracle services and other products for, probably as long as I've been here, probably 3 years.
Is the sub local? Is that 25%?
It is. It's a 25% DEP commitment with their subcontractor SoftBank.
Okay. And they are a local Illinois company?
Let me look, I believe. I could get you that information. Looks like we don't have it here.
Okay.
I can have that information, but try to end up
with it. That's fine.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding?
Okay. Second item is an award of a tow invitation for bid to purchase Tripwire software maintenance and support. This contract allows for the continued maintenance and support of our existing software licenses. This software is a network security monitoring tool that constantly measures compliance to our payment card industry PCI data security standards. Award is recommended to SHI International Corp. in an amount not to exceed $77,274.70 for a three-year term. Go to the next item.
Yes.
Okay. Third item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase off-site storage services. This contract provides off-site document and electronic media storage services as required by the Illinois Records Act. Award is recommended to GRM Information Management Services of Chicago LLC in an amount not to exceed $73,366.15 for a four-year period.
Do we currently off-site storage any other records at this facility right now?
Not at this one. We're using O'Hare Records Management. They're the incumbent vendor right now.
How many square feet are we using? Do you know for this new contract? For storage. And this is the amount for how many years? This is
four.
4 years?
Yes.
So it's 73 per year, or that's over four
no,
years?
No, that's over the 4 years. So for the document, the paper document storage, we're looking about a little bit under 18,000 per year. And for the electronic media, about 370 per year. So
okay.
This is, you know, a lot less than what we're currently paying.
No, I'm sorry, what was the square footage?
I don't have square footage.
We know that it's 7,200 containers, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have a square footage.
Correct.
That.
Yeah, about 7,200 containers worth of paper documents, which were required by the Illinois Records Act to maintain.
I think just big picture, something to talk about later on, is basically, I'd like to understand how much is in storage and how many square feet we're currently using and how cost effective it is to store and pay off-site storage.
Versus building our own or leasing?
Possibly,
our,
or identifying okay. space or leasing, you know.
Okay.
Just
sure.
It's a big picture thing down the line.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions on that?
Questions up.
Okay. Fourth and final item is an award of a tollway emergency procurement to repair the M1 salt dome in Alsip. So you may recall that this dome was struck in a minor incident earlier this year that compromised the structure. Our general engineering consultant drafted the detailed design drawing specifying the required repair work. It's imperative that this dome be repaired immediately so we can start filling it up with rock salt for the upcoming winter season. Even though we didn't have time to go through the formal procurement process, three vendors attended a site visit back in May and we received two bids. Award is recommended to the lowest responsive bidder, P&G Crane and Engineering Company, in an estimated amount not to exceed $80,000.
So there was an accident which caused the structural damage?
Yes.
Was there any insurance coverage in this at all to cover the cost? Was it one of our workers? Or?
It was one of our workers. His bed was in the up position. He was inside the dome as he was going out. The bed of the truck hit the header of the dome and caused some structural damage.